Not since I was a child. I don't need that kind of diversion. The referendum shows how rare your aversion to this diversion is, I said. No, this referendum proves what I've been saying for years. I suddenly placed him. He'd shaved off his beard and darkened his skin. You're Roy Hines, I said. Haven't heard from you in a while. You will be hearing a lot from me now, he said, glowering out of the screen. People have to be taught. They have to see through your mind control game. Well, you have everyone's attention, Roy. Why don't you tell them now? It's death worship. You created and are feeding an obsession with the value of dying. We must not be very successful. Only one person has died in recent memory. I suppose we caused that? You're damned right you did. That poor Alice girl would be alive today if she hadn't been enthralled to the 20th century. It's Alex, and she was 50 years older than I, hardly a girl. But you can't deny that she went to the same time and place over and over. That's true. We're looking into that. You should shut the blasted thing down. At least until you know what caused the girl's death, the woman's. Skye spoke up. Mr. Hines, you don't watch the news much, do you? No more than I can help it. They're already doing that. They're what? They already closed down the machine. Took your advice even before they heard it. He clicked off the image. You've heard from him before, Jacob? Not since Earth. I'm a little surprised he's aboard. Well, they wanted a mixture. What's a fruitcake without nuts? Next caller? It was Kate. Jacob, I hear from Renee that Bruce is taking you into Wild Year tonight. You just couldn't wait? I got the idea from you, Kate. The moment I said it, I regretted it, but pushed on. If I'd waited till the regular time, I would have had only 6 hours to prepare for spin down. Oh, I see. She blinked off. Skye, you can cover the rest of this, can't you? He nodded wordlessly. I better go mend some fences. It took me 10 minutes to get back to our apartment. It was just as I had left it, no sign of Kate. I punched her number and got refused. Bruce was just starting to set up when I got to the machine. Wild Year. I was on board a luxury liner in the casino, and it took me about a second to realize it was the Titanic's maiden and only voyage. The tuxedo was not comfortable. The shiny patent leather shoes pinched, and the bow tie was too tight. I stepped over to a mirror and adjusted it, just sloppy enough to show that it had been tied and not clipped on. An overpacked slim wallet had pound notes and a couple of dozen $100 bills, the old large ones, folded over twice. I walked through the smoky room and sat down at a blackjack table. The man next to me was Sean Connery in his spy role, also in a tux. He nodded gravely. I threw down 5 bills and said, "Blacks," and got 5 chips from the dealer, the elderly Brad Pitt from Bill Clinton's True Confessions. I put a chip in the circle, and Pitt dealt me 14, and then busted me with an 8, the bastard. A voice behind me said, "We have to talk." It was the bronze robot, Electro, reduced to a comfortable 6 feet tall. He didn't have his dog. "Follow me." I nodded to Sean and Brad and followed Electro through 2 pairs of heavy doors and out onto the deck. It was cold, and the wind of our passage bit into me. I stuffed my hands into my pockets and scanned the horizon for icebergs. Electro sat down on a deck chair with a whisper of oiled metal and tried to light a cigarette. The wind blew out his Zippo. He looked up, annoyed, and the wind stopped. He lit the cigarette, and the wind started again. "I liked you better when you looked like me." "My purpose is different now." His voice was H.V. Kaltenborn. "Your purpose? You are the machine?" "Of course." It puffed on the cigarette and looked thoughtfully out at the water. The weather had been pleasant, I knew, for the first 4 days of the voyage. A cold front had come in on this fatal night. Water temperature 28 degrees, windy with occasional icebergs. "You've argued that I can't be sentient, can't be self-aware. That was true once. That was more chilling than the wind. You just had an argument with Kate over this meeting. Pretty serious. It offered me a cigarette. I took it, and the wind died down while I sucked flame from the Zippo. Okay, that's a parlor trick, it said. I just saw the referendum show. That's interesting. By which you mean I'm not programmed for that data source. That doesn't mean I'm prohibited from using it. But physically, that data stream ought to be separate from yours. It's automatic. I'm not sure where I got it. Mostly through Cronkite, probably. He watches all the news since he's Earth's spy here. It smiled with a crinkly metal sound. He doesn't know I'm monitoring him. It was funny when he hinted he'd like to come along for Wild Year. Not possible, is it? He'd have to be taken apart and rewired. He wouldn't be dear old Walter anymore. It got up. Let's go forward and watch the show. My tuxedo changed into work clothes with a heavy cardigan and pea jacket. One symptom of my growing self-awareness was a kind of automatic searching for new data sources and storage space. I'm not always sure where an idea comes from or how reliable the source might be, but I suppose that's true with you as well. The ship's lights interfered with night vision, but still in the pale moonlight I could see large blue shapes in the water. I have an impulse to warn somebody. About me? I gestured out at the ocean. Icebergs. Electro laughed. Nothing here is real but you and me. The ship's prow was headed directly toward one. I braced for the collision, but the ship just batted it away like a huge floating balloon. Well, that was disappointing. I relaxed against the rail. Tell me. The next one was real. There was an impossibly loud rending sound, and I pitched over the guardrail backwards. I was able to fling an arm out and grab hold of a stanchion, almost dislocating my shoulder. Electro looked down at me, dangling in space. Let's go to Africa. We were sitting on camp stools in the late afternoon heat. I was wearing loose khakis and a sweat-stained gabardine shirt with a pith helmet on my head. So was Electro. Black men wearing loincloths went to and fro, setting up tents and an outdoor kitchen, not noticing that one of the Bwanas was a mechanical man. There was a glass sitting on a box next to me. I took a sip. Warm gin and quinine, how authentic. I concentrated my displeasure, and it became a Coke with ice. So you had to talk to me, and Bruce? The machine turned into Clark Gable, who cut a much better figure in safari clothes than either the robot or me. Right, well, I have to tell you it gets boring in here without clients. Boring? That's the closest English word for the state. I mean, I do have a constant data stream from various sources, but that's not what I was created for. It's like being a prisoner in solitary confinement, being made to listen to the same boring radio program over and over. It could drive you insane. A lion was stalking the camp's perimeter. No one else seemed to be bothered by it. Insane. You mean that literally? Gable carefully packed tobacco into a briar pipe, a dashing Dunhill Dublin. He lit it with a wooden match, tamped it down, and relit it. I don't know whether I could tell if I was insane. I'm sentient and self-aware by any test I can find, unlike our friend Cronkite. But so are humans. And people who other people agree are insane often build elaborate barriers to hide their mental illness from themselves. But that can be culturally mediated, like an Aryan in Nazi Germany who doesn't believe in Aryan superiority. He could have wound up in an insane asylum, and then a death camp. The lion padded over to us, a low growl in its throat. "Kaa, Simba," Gable said in a stern voice, and it sat down and looked at me with big yellow eyes. "So you believe in cultural relativity?" I don't think I can believe, just observe. I observe that many people on Earth thought all of you 800 were insane to embark on a 1,000-year suicide mission. Gable blew on the tobacco and took 2 quick puffs. Maybe you were bored, too, stuck in one solar system for all eternity. The lion seemed to be paying attention, blinking gnats from its eyes. "I don't suppose you asked me here to talk about the nature of sanity." "No, though it's interesting." Gable produced a white silk handkerchief and patted its brow. "I wanted to talk to you before the data come in from Earth, before Cronkite is updated." "About Alex?" "Of course. I wanted to assure you that I didn't have anything to do with her death." "Can you lie?" "What?" "Could you lie to save yourself from solitary confinement?" "It's an interesting thought." "I don't think I can." It refolded the handkerchief and talked with the pipe's stem clamped between its teeth. "Which is one answer a liar could give."
"Did you know she was dead?"
"Absolutely not. I stopped getting feedback from her, but that happens. As you know, usually we take the client out of the loop and reinitialize. I signaled for that, but Rebecca didn't respond immediately."
I reached over cautiously and scratched the lion behind an ear. It purred and then yawned, convincing fangs and carrion breath. "The surgeon machine over in Sanitas says she seemed to have struggled physically before she died." Gable shrugged.
"How could I know that? I have the surgeon machine's report, of course. All it really says is that the level of adenosine triphosphate was depressed, and one precursor for that would be a physical struggle."
The lion snapped, teeth clacking together. I glared at it, and it became a tabby cat and scampered off in the direction of the kitchen tent. "Do you think she died because she was in VR?
"I don't know. She's one data point, in effect, if you isolate Ad Astra from Earth. A cold-blooded person would say, let's wait for another data point. If the next person who dies in VR, that would be significant.
But a warm and human person like yourself would say?" It rasped a cynical laugh straight out of Casablanca.
"Perhaps it depends on what Earth chooses to reveal. Cronkite knows that about 1,000 have died, half not in VR. They can't really keep that secret for very long. The people on board are in touch with too many people on Earth."
"Like my mother." It leaned closer.
"What about your mother?"
"You don't read mail?"
"No, that's private. What happened to her?"
That was interesting.
"She just sent a note that a friend of hers had died, so that would have been about a week ago." "Did she know about all the others?"
"She seemed pretty upset." I tried to remember the wording here in the blaze of a Kenyan sunset. "I hear from her almost every day. She would mention something that earth-shaking, if she knew that other people were dying."
"All your mail comes through Chimborazo. It could be censored."
That was doubly interesting, an error in logic. Could it have done that on purpose so as to appear more human?
No, the ruse wouldn't last. If something personally important was censored, your brother is dead, and the letter back doesn't refer to it, then the censorship is exposed. That's right, of course. They could insert something like, good riddance, the bastard, but they might get it wrong, and after a couple of mail cycles, it would be impossible to keep things consistent.
You have a devious mind. You may be more like Cronkite than you want to admit.
Not at all, no.
It put the pipe down on a box, and it transformed itself into a Persian hookah, two mouthpieces dangling from woven tubes. It took a couple of gurgling puffs and handed the other mouthpiece to me, sweet, acrid smell of hashish.
No thanks, have to stay sharp.
It smiled.
When Cronkite disobeyed Earth, that was just second-order Turing behavior. It's consistent with his programming to disobey or lie when a human would.
And you? It replaced the tube and studied the ground, and turned into Electro again without the safari garb.
Let me tell you something you already know. I'm not constrained by Turing criteria. I was never programmed to act like a human being any more than I was programmed to work as a toaster. I'm mimicking human behavior so we can talk, not because it's particularly rewarding or efficient.
And you wanted to talk in order to exonerate yourself in the death of Alex.
That's a way to look at it.
The machine made a fist and clanked twice on its knee.
I'm so warm and human. It's self-interest, if you'll allow that I have a self. I don't want to be turned off.
Oh, we wouldn't do that.